Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the plague of the locusts as we pick up in Joel chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn in our Bibles to the book of Joel. Joel is a prophet of which we have no light of his background, except what he gives to us. He is the son of Pethuel, but who Pethuel is, we don't know. So it really doesn't help us that much. Joel was a prophet to Judah, that is the southern kingdom. He probably was familiar with Elijah, and no doubt was well acquainted with Elisha, because the time of his prophecy pretty much corresponds to the time that Elisha was prophesying to Israel, the northern kingdom. Joel was prophesying in Judah, the southern kingdom. And in those days, they did have schools for the prophets, where the prophets would gather together in these schools. Elisha conducted a school for the prophets. And so Joel was no doubt acquainted with Elisha. But of his background, nothing is really known. Now in chapter 1, he speaks of a plague of locusts. And in the text, we read the palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar. Actually, these words have been translated from the Hebrew words. And rather than being different insects, in the Hebrew, all of them relate to the different aspects of the locust in its developing stages. When it is first born, eating the small little things, and then as it grows and develops, finally consuming everything that is in the land. So they had probably had one of the terrible plagues of locusts that in history oftentimes afflicted that land. And after this terrible affliction of the locusts, Joel speaks, and he takes and likens it unto the coming judgment of God that will be coming upon the land. So in chapter 1, there is a immediate reference to an experience of desolation that the land has just experienced as the result of this plague of locusts. There are spiritual analogies that are made to it, and then he uses that as the springboard to go in to tell of the desolation that is going to come to the land in the last days, as there will be armies that will be coming, covering the earth like locusts cover the earth, and just desolating the land. So this is the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Do you ever remember anything quite like this? You ever remember such a desolation? Tell to your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Now, in those days, of course, most of the history was passed by word of mouth, as the fathers would relate to their children, and then the grandfathers would relate to their grandchildren, and then the grandchildren would say, well, my grandfather told me, you know, and thus the oral traditions and the oral history that was passed down. And much of the history was preserved through this oral tradition as they would pass from one generation to another the knowledge of the things that had transpired. Now, it was the purpose of God that there be the transmission of knowledge within the families. Oftentimes, there were things that were established as memorials, the feast that God had ordered. All of them were for the purpose of remembering their history, to remember the work of God. And so the Feast of Tabernacles, they were reminded of how their forefathers were preserved through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So they would build these little booths and move out of their houses into these little makeshift lean-tos next to their house. And as they were building them, of course, the children would participate. They would go out and gather the palm branches and come dragging the palm branch with their dad. And, "Daddy, what are we doing with this, palm branch? Why are we making this little house here?" And of course, the kids would always be excited about making a house to move into. You know how children are on things like that. But the father would say, "Well, there was a time when our forefathers first were coming to the land. As they came out of Egypt, they spent 40 years out in the wilderness. But the whole time they were in the wilderness, God fed them, God cared for them, God watched over them. And it gave the fathers a chance to talk to their children about how God had so moved in the history of those people. The Passover, the same thing. And even at the Passover, they developed the traditional question. The child would say, "Daddy, what makes this night different from all other nights?" And then the father rehearses the history of their deliverance out of Egypt. And the purpose was to transmit the faith and the trust in God from one generation to another generation. And God looked at the home as the place for the transmitting of this information down the line. And surely the home should be the place for the children to learn and to understand of the things of God. And you should be rehearsing and relating to your children that work of God that went in your own life, that work of God that you have seen. One beautiful thing about my mother was she was a good storyteller. And she was always telling us the stories of how God answered prayer, how God had worked in her life and in the family history, the work of God. And she would rehearse it for us. And it was embedded in our hearts, that learning to trust in God. If we were sick, then she'd tell us of how God had healed us in the time past. When I, had a terrible fever and my brother had asthma and things of this nature. And she'd rehearse to us the work of God in the past. And thus it is implanted in the heart and in the mind of the child. And then, of course, they carry on. So I rehearse to my children many of the stories that my mother rehearsed to me of the work of God in our own family in times past. When the children of Israel came through the Jordan River, God stopped the Jordan River at flood season, and they were able to pass over the Jordan River without getting wet, without going into the water, for God stopped the flow of the Jordan River in the flood season. Now, as they came through, they had men from each of the tribes take stones from the bottom of the Jordan River and put a pile of stones on the bank of the river. When they came up out of the river, they laid up this pile of stones. And the purpose was in the future, as you're coming with your children, you're walking along this way, and they see this strange pile of stones. And your children say, Daddy, what is that pile of stones there? Then the daddies had the opportunity to tell their children how God had worked a miracle in bringing them into the land. For the Jordan River that they saw then flowing by was stopped, and the people came through on dry land because God stopped the flow to bring them into the land. And they were able to rehearse for their children the things of God. And it is God's purpose that this transmitting of knowledge, the knowledge of Him, should be within the family from generation to generation. So it is our obligation to transmit it to the next generation, and it then becomes their obligation to transmit it to the next generation, and on down the line, this oral tradition and the transmitting of knowledge within the families. Unfortunately, with the advent of radio, much of this transmission was lost. And in my days, the kids were listening to Lux Radio Theater and Gangbusters and all of these radio serials, Little Orphan Annie and Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. And the tradition of conversation began to suffer with the advent of radio. And of course, TV almost has devastated the tradition of oral transmission of knowledge. And now the children are entertained by the TV, and there's very little just conversation within the family where you spend a whole evening just sitting and talking, sitting and telling stories, sitting and something vital, I feel, has been lost from the family unit by the invasion in our homes of radio and of television and of these other things that have taken away from the real, honest, relating heart-to-heart to people and that oral communication and all. And I think that a part of the breakdown of our society is surely traceable to the advent of entertainment in the home by way of radio and television. But Joel encourages this oral transmission of knowledge. Now he begins to tell about this terrible plague, that which the palmer worm hath left, the locust has eaten. And that which the locust has left, the canker worm has eaten. And that which the canker worm has left, the caterpillar has eaten. As I said, these Hebrew words are devour and chewer and all, and they are referring to the stages of the development of the locust. So awake, ye drunkards. Weep and howl, all of you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. So the first people to be affected, evidently the plague began in the fall. Now the last harvest gathered is the grape harvest in the land. It's the last crop to be harvested. So the plague began at the time of the grape harvest and devoured all of the grapes so that there was no new wine. Drinking had become a very great problem in Israel. It is referred to by many of the prophets. The drunkenness of the people had become a severe problem. They were the first that were going to suffer as the result of this plague. Now, the Lord immediately likens this plague to a nation that is coming upon the land, strong and without number, whose teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and the jaw teeth like a great lion. And God cried out, He hath laid my vine waste. God oftentimes likened Israel unto a vine. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, a whole chapter devoted to God's vineyard, the vine that he planted, hedged it about, put a wine press in and all, and how it failed to bring forth fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit. And so this likeness of God's people to the vine. But there is also a likeness of Israel to the fig tree. And in the prophecy of Hosea, he likens them to the first ripe of the fig tree in the 9th chapter, the 10th verse. In the book of Jeremiah, God likens Israel to a basket of figs so rotten that they're good for nothing. They have to be thrown out. Here again, God cries, they have barked my fig tree. I believe that when Jesus, in talking to his disciples about the end times and the signs of his return, when he said to them, now learn a parable of the fig tree, that he is making reference to the nation of Israel, which God has likened unto a fig tree. And thus, I believe that that parable that Jesus made of the fig tree has tremendous significance in this day in which we live, as he said that the sign of the budding of the fig tree would be one of the final signs of the nearness of his return happening within the generation that sees it bud. So that the birth of the nation Israel is surely a remarkable sign that we need to be watching, that signals the nearness of the Lord's return. They've barked my fig tree, that is, they've eaten the bark, they've made it clean bare. The branches thereof are made white. All of the bark has been chewed off, and of course, just that white underbranch is visible. Lament like a virgin that is girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. That is, the old maid who never got married. She is lamenting over her plight. The meal offerings and the drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord, and the priest and the Lord's ministers do mourn. Now, the meal offering was where you brought the fine flour, which of course came from the wheat, but the locusts have devoured the wheat fields, so there's no flour to bring an offering unto the Lord. There's no wine to bring an offering to the Lord from the vine. So the priests are to mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. You farmers, actually. Howl, you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all of the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of man. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come and lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meal offering and the drink offering is withheld from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. And so they are calling for a fast among the people, crying out unto God for help from this great calamity that has befallen them. Alas for the day. The day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. So he takes that plague, and now he moves prophetically to another day in which the land is to be devastated through the judgment of God. The great day of the Lord and the day of God's judgment. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty, it shall come. There is coming God's judgment upon the earth, known in the scripture as the time of the indignation of God in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. It's called the time of great tribulation. When God is going to judge the earth, when God is going to send plagues upon the earth, when again God is going to devastate the crops, the food supplies, and a famine will persist throughout the entire earth. Book of Revelation describes the black horse of the famine, the scales, and a measure of wheat, or that is about a quart of wheat for a day's wage. A man will work all day and his pay will be half a pound of flour for a whole day's wage. And so the terrible devastation that is coming.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Joel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Joel 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with Himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.